message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Welcome you to God's awesome presence tonight. And we are grateful to God for His blessings over our lives. We have been on a fast since the month started. And we are grateful to God for how He has continued to sustain us and strengthen each and every one of us. If you have been enjoying God since this program started, can I see your hands wave to God? You have been blessed by the sessions, by the word, by the worship, and all. Very good. The Lord will continue to bless you in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will continue to bless you in Jesus' name. We have been on a series of embracing a vibrant Christian life. The series of a vibrant Christian life. The series of a vibrant Christian life. And this is the part three of this series. We have looked extensively at who is a Christian. We also looked extensively at what is Christianity. We looked at the major forces or factors that evidences that a person is a Christian, that shows the evidence, because evidence always conquers doubt. That's why in the court of law, they will always ask for evidence. They say, produce your evidence. When somebody is a Christian, there are some things that should show. And we said, one of them is good and godly appearance. We should not dress in rags. We should not wear rags. We should not wear clothes. After wearing it, then we take it to tailor to tear it at the back again. We should dress properly, both as male and female, so that everybody that sees us will see the glory of God upon our life. We also looked at a change priority. Once you are a Christian, your priority begins to change. Before you were a Christian, you go out to all sorts of places. But when you become a Christian, those things don't taste well again. Before you were a Christian, you used to watch some films and watch some websites. Immediately you became a Christian, you had a distaste for it. Your priorities change. What you pursue daily changes. What you love before is not what you love now, because you have changed your priorities. Your focus has changed. Any Christian whose focus doesn't change after being a Christian is not a real Christian. Every real Christian will have a changed focus once you become a believer. When I became born again, one of the first things I did was to burn all the worldly music I had. I had quite a lot of them. Blues music, slow music, and some other music that are Nigerian music, but that are not so godly as it were, because those who produced those music didn't have the Holy Spirit. I remember that day I brought it out to the front of the house where I was staying, and I set it on fire. As a Christian, your priority must change. We also looked at major factors that promote change in lifestyle. We said you must have a godly company, good friends. They show me your friend and I'll say who you are. Your friends affect you. Your friends can determine how far you can go in life. Your friends influence your life because you communicate with them often. So they affect your life. After some time, you begin to think like your friends. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communication will corrupt the good manners. Evil communication will corrupt the good manners. Also, we looked at major factors that promote change of lifestyle. We said regular study of the Word. The Word of God is God. The Word of God is God. And so when you have access, thank you for that adjustment. You can do better in sound. Okay, so when you have regular study of the Word, you are able to change your lifestyle. You know, the Bible is an instrument for teaching. The Bible says it's profitable for all things, for doctrine, for correction, for reproof and instruction. Doctrine, correction, reproof, instructions. So it's a word that is so loaded, it has everything you need. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Also, a major factor that promotes change in lifestyle is a life of prayer. We said yesterday, amongst other things, the more you pray, the less tendency to sin. When you pray often, you sin less. When you pray less, you sin more. So, prayer always shields us from a life of iniquity. If you want to run away from sin, pray more. If you hate sin as much as I do, pray more. Pray more. Prayer kills the desire for sin in you. It kills it. You hate sin and you hate it with passion because of your prayer lifestyle. Because when you are prayerful, you catch fire. You carry fire. And when you carry fire, you have a distaste for iniquity. You hate iniquity. My prayer for somebody here tonight is that the grace for a vibrant Christian life be released upon you in the name of Jesus. I say it be released upon you in the name of Jesus. Tonight, briefly, I'll be speaking on keys to Christian life transformation. Just moving on this Christian lifestyle series. Keys to Christian lifestyle transformation. The first key to the transformation of the life of a believer is walking in the fear of the Almighty. Walking in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is so paramount for every believer. And everyone that will become something in this kingdom must be a Christian that fears God. In Genesis chapter 42 verse 18, Joseph was speaking there. He said, I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. He was a man that feared God. And this changed his life. This do and live for I fear God. I fear God. This is the major problem that is happening in the world now. The bankruptcy of the fear of God. Both in the heart of believers and in the heart of unbelievers. Believers doing what unbelievers will do. Unbelievers learning evil things from believers. The fear of God is vital in our heart. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. That is the conclusion of the whole matter of the life of a man. The man should fear God. The woman should fear God. The worker should fear God. The pastor should fear God. The deacon should fear God. The minister should fear God. Everybody. Let us therefore fear God. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. I've never seen a person that fears God and ends up as a Lilliputian. A Lilliputian is a dwarf. So small. He's so small like this. You can hardly even see him on the floor. Very small person. There's nobody that fears God and ends as a small person in life. I can as well say that the fear of God is your ticket to your vibrancy in life. And so once the fear of God is absent, every blessing you can think of is absent. My prayer is that the grace to fear God comes upon every one of us in the name of Jesus. When selecting Christian leaders, one of the major criteria is the fear of God. Exodus 18:21. When you want to select a leader in this particular kingdom, he said, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God. If you are going to hold a post as a leader, minister, HOD, pastor, assistant pastor, whatever it is, a major criteria is that it must be a person that fears God. The fear of God must be in the person's heart. When the person hears God, he must shiver. When the person mistakenly hears God, his heart must God. Hey, God. But what are we seeing in these days? The bankruptcy of the fear of God always makes a believer look like trash. But I pray that tonight, as a direct result of this meeting, a baptism of the fear of God is coming upon us in the name of Jesus. What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean to fear God? To fear God means to honor, respect, reference God and His word. 1 Peter 2 verse 17. To reference God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. To fear God means to reference God, to have regard for God, to have regard for His word, to have regard for His servants, to have regard for the institution of the church. Nobody can claim he fears God without having respect for God, for the house of God, and for the things that involves God. The fear of God. Number two, what is the fear of God? The fear of God means living with eternity in mind. Living with eternity in mind. Living and knowing that the end of the world is not here. Because a lot of people live as if this is where everything ends. Living, knowing fully well that one day you will give an account. Knowing fully well that one day the trumpet will sound. Knowing fully well that one day one will sleep and not wake up again. Living with that fear is what we call the fear of God. Living with the fear that one day I'm going to give an account of my stewardship. What I have done, I will give an account. On confessing, I will stand there and give an account. It's important that everyone that fears God must live with eternity in mind. I mean, this is one thing that is so absent. Many just live as if the world is infinite, as in there's no end to their life. But you and I know your great grandfather has gone somewhere. Your grandfather has gone somewhere. Maybe even your father has gone somewhere. Someday you will also go somewhere. That's what they call the fear of God. When you don't think like that, there is a tendency to misbehave. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you don't think like that, there's a tendency to misbehave. Say, what's there? Forget God, man. Forget, my friend. Forget all those people. What are you talking about? But when you have eternity in mind, then you walk in the fear of God. Many people in the scripture were distinguished with fear of God. Abraham was distinguished because he feared God. Job was distinguished because he feared God. So the fear of God is a promoter of man. The fear of God is a lifter of man. Joseph was distinguished because he feared God. You are the next we'll be talking about in Jesus' name. I say you are the next we'll be talking about in Jesus' name. You are the next we'll be talking about in Jesus' name. Right, we're talking about Job in Job chapter 1 from verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. This man was a perfect man. He was an upright man. He was a man that feared God and he eschewed evil. He has hatred for evil. He had a distaste for evil. He did not like anything evil. He's not into the kind of things that are prevalent in the world now. He hated evil. He disliked evil. And because of this, God was boasting about him. May God boast about you this year. I say, may God boast about you this year. I say, may God boast about you this year. So that's number one key to the transformation of the life of a man. Number two is walking in discipline. Walking in discipline. The Christian race is a disciplined race. Disciplined race. Or you can also call it a military setting. The Christian race is not a civilian setting. It's a military setting. And the military setting involves a lot of rigor and it takes discipline. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. We're encouraged. Say, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Endure hardness. He didn't say enjoy ice cream. He never said enjoy ice cream. Or enjoy burger. Or go to churches where they will only serve you donuts and rice. He said endure. If you want to be a soldier of Christ, he said endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Endure persecution if it comes. If they hate you because you love me, why not? They first hated me before they hated you. If they persecuted you before any other person, why not? They persecuted me also before. Endure hardness. And this will take a lot of discipline. The training of soldiers involves many things like punctuality, respect, order, respect for authorities, rigorous exercises. How many of us went to military school here? Military school. Anybody went to military school here? Oh, okay, you went to military school? A lot of rigorous exercises in military school. You go under the wire, you jump fence. Okay. Some of it were also done in NYSC. You know what I'm talking about. Climbing of ropes. There's what they call endurance trek. Do they still do it now? Endurance trek. You have to endure so to get to that place. And they will take you to far places. Inside bush. Christians of nowadays don't want to endure anything. Anything. We must be disciplined if we want to be true Christians. We must be disciplined. Discipline with eating. Discipline with food. Discipline in conduct. Can't imagine a Christian breaking bottle. And a breaking bottle there, I say, I will stab you. A Christian, a believer. Breaking bottle. I will choke you on your neck. A Christian must be disciplined. My prayer for you today is that the spirit of discipline comes upon everyone here in the name of Jesus. I say it comes on everyone here in the name of Jesus. Discipline is a non-transferable responsibility. You yourself must discipline yourself. Those who were in discipline yesterday, they are non-entities today. Those who were in discipline yesterday, they are non-entities today. Those who refuse to hearken to the voice of discipline today, they bite their fingers tomorrow. Those who do their nose like this to elders, what are they saying? Forget discipline. This is the modern world. This is the year 2020. The year of Facebook and Instagram. They bite their fingers tomorrow because of indiscipline. Those who will not zip up, they have girlfriends in every city where they do business. They do business in Ibadan, they have girlfriend there. They have in Ilorin, they have girlfriend there. They go to Lagos, they have girlfriend there. Amen. I believe strongly on the day of judgment, some people, it is their instrument of manhood that they will use to hang them in a fire. Yeah. Because of the evil they have done here in this world. It is their instrument. They will hang it like this. They will use it to hang and they will be throwing them like this. Because that is the major thing that destroyed their life. Discipline as a Christian. Discipline as a believer. Discipline in words. Discipline in eating. Discipline in sleeping. May the Lord give us more of the grace for discipline in the name of Jesus. I say, may the Lord give us the grace in the name of Jesus. I have never seen an undisciplined man or woman become something in life. If they do, they will soon crash. Just show me somebody who is not disciplined. The person will soon crash. If you lose control of discipline, you lose control of your life. If you eat everything available to you, you are as good as a dead person. If you sleep with everybody that is available for you, you are as good as a dead person. Discipline. Discipline. This endure hardness as a soldier of Christ. Endure hard. Christians don't want to endure anything. Any small stress like this. I know for this one again. Anybody that promises you that Christianity is about bread and butter is a liar. If anybody told you, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and what? My burden is light. He didn't say there's no yoke. He said, my yoke is easy. It's easier than sin. That's what he's trying to say. I think that should be Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Just come, come, come. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. May you find rest for your soul. May you find rest for your soul. Friends, until a believer is disciplined, he's going nowhere. His life is going nowhere. Do you know that a student that refuses to study in school is going nowhere? He will not graduate. That's the same thing with Christianity. A believer that is not disciplined will not be able to finish well. You will finish well. I say you will finish well. I say you will finish well. Do you know that this fasting that we are doing now, it takes discipline to do it? Because I won't be there to monitor you. I won't be there to know when you broke your fast and if you fasted or not. Your husband and wife might not be there. They will be at their various places of work. It takes discipline to smell akara like this morning now. They are frying akara in your house. Maybe you are living with somebody that you They are not there in maybe another church, and they are finding like with pap, and they are pouring milk, pig milk, in front of you. But you want a pig life. So you say, no, let me leave this pig milk and let me choose a pig life. But Some will, Kai, they will look left, they will look right. Look left, look right. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Do you know that everywhere you see difficulty, there's a reward in front? Yeah. And it takes discipline to confront difficulties. It takes discipline to wait on the Lord. I would say those that wait upon the Lord, He will renew their strength. As Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. That is, they'll be able to do the unusual. They will do things others cannot do. That will be your portion in the name of Jesus. God will renew your strength and grant you new level of discipline. Once you sense that a person is in discipline, just know that very soon you will soon hear of the person's issues. Indiscipline is a killer. Number three, embracing a vibrant Christian life. We are talking about four keys for Christian transformation. Number three, thing that will transform a person's Christian life is involvement in kingdom advancement or kingdom promotion. This is talking about being a part of the growth of the kingdom, being a part of the development of God's house. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 was talking to us, and he said, Daniel chapter 12 verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars. So, involvement in God's kingdom makes you a star that shines forevermore. Your involvement, your husband's involvement, women here, please, if there is, apart from producing children, great children, apart from that, one vital thing you must do in your life is to push your husband to God. I mean, you must do it at all costs. It must be, if you want to have peace in your later years, you must, because your involvement in God's kingdom is like the ticket, a ticket to a new level of life. You push your husband, you push your children, you push your wife towards the kingdom of God. Not complaining. You have stayed too long in church. Why are we closing at this time? You have stayed too long. You are not a serious person. Isn't it better to stay too long in church than for him to stay too long in a brothel? If he's staying too long in church, don't you know you need to do thanksgiving and do special testimony? I want to thank God, my husband is staying so long in church. Because you have understanding that some people, their own husband is somewhere else. Comes in around 3 o'clock in the morning. Open this door. Open this door, I'll break this door, man. Open this door, everybody. The dawn has arrived. After drinking stupendously. Everybody that is involved in kingdom advancement is always blessed. I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. He's talking about those who are involved in kingdom service. I have never seen somebody involved in kingdom service and is a nobody. That's what the Bible is trying to say. And I can say this over, because this is my area of specialization. I know where I was when I wasn't serving God as much as I am now. You cannot be in partnership with God for the growth of the work, for the progress of the work, for the betterment and advancement of other people, and your life will remain the same. It is impossible. Impossible. And that's why the devil doesn't want us to serve God Having said that, there are different kinds of service. There's physical stewardship, like choir, like sanctuary keepers, like engineering, and children's church, and many other kinds of stewardship. All this makes your Christian life vibrant. It's so easy to backslide when you are not in a department. It's so easy to backslide because you are not accountable to anybody. Nobody will ask after you, why didn't you come to church? What's wrong? Why did you come for workers' meeting? Why didn't you come for 3 days fasting? Nobody will ask because you are not a worker. And if you are not a worker, will you be paid by the employer? Somebody came to my office some time ago who has been in our church here for many, many years. Many, many, many years. I said, sir, it looks as if so all of a sudden I feel that you love some people more than another. Because I just wanted to say that I don't even know why you did not see me. I did not ask after me. I said, number one, it's not true. I don't love one person more than another. Number two, I want to ask you, which department are you serving? You know, she said, because one of my friends said, our pastor is a wonderful man. He's a good man. Yeah, he's a blessed man. He always pray for me. He always asks after me. I said, who is the best? She said, I won't tell you. Who is the best? I won't tell you. I said, you must tell me. It's by force. So she now told me. And I said, that person. And she came to see me here on Saturday around 6:30. I said, I'm just breaking my fast now with this bottle. That person you talk about is the person that bought this bottle of water that I'm drinking. Brought a carton of water for me. I said, that person comes to workers' meeting, comes to church regularly. I see this person from time to time. The person is involved in God's work. I said, you have been here for 7 years. You did not join any department. And he said, they are not looking for you. Abba! Kingdom stewardship always qualifies you for his blessings. Always qualifies you for his favor. But instead of people to serve, they will be going from one mountain to another, from one place to another. People will be collecting money from them. You see, your problem is so terrible, we are going to buy the egg of a mosquito. Also, we need the skin of a snake called python. The first skin. You say, sir, how much is the first skin? He said, you see, you need like 3 snakes, the skin, the first skin. Each one costs 40,000. That's 120. The egg of the mosquito, you need 21. Each one costs 2,000. And they calculate together, you will wire the money. Instead of just to serve God, Jejia, let him say to you, in your lifetime, no fake person will collect money from you. I say, no fake person will collect money from you. Say a big amen. Say a big amen. Kinds of service available. I said number one, physical stewardship. Number two is spiritual stewardship, which involves pastoring, which involves praying, like in Luke chapter 2, verse 37, where that wonderful woman was praying. She was about a widow, about 84 years, who departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. That's another kind of stewardship. Spiritual stewardship. We have C is evangelism stewardship. And I put this one separately. I would have put it under physical stewardship, but because it's one of the most profitable, if not the most profitable. Because souls is what God is after. That is what God is after. So anything you do that draws people to God's house, You have qualified for God's blessings. Either it is prayer, either you are going out for evangelism, either you are involved in the printing, either you are involved in anything that you are publicizing on the internet, anything you are doing that draws people to the house of God qualifies you for his blessings and makes your Christian life vibrant. And of course, D, kinds of service available is financial stewardship. Being available to do things in the house of God, being available to do something in the house of God financially. Pay your tithe, giving your offerings, seeds, sacrifices, looking out for what is needed in the house of God and doing it without anybody asking you. When they ask you, it's already too late. When they ask you, it's already too late. You are the one that will look out. You look out. Say, what can we do? What can I do? And you do it with humility. You don't do it with pride. You don't do it with pride. You don't come to the senior pastor and say, just tell me what you need. Just tell me what all of you. Somebody once asked me that question. I said, we don't need anything. I said, we don't need it. It's not pride. We don't need anything. Because if you see something the church needs, just do it. You don't need to ask, what do you need? Need for what? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Beloved, we are talking about the factors and the keys for Christian life transformation. The thread number one is what? Walking. Number two, walking in discipline. Number three, involvement in kingdom advancement and kingdom. Number four, way to the Christian transformation of the life of a Christian. The life transformation of the life of a Christian is showing love to God and his people. Showing love to God and to his people. John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8 and verse 11. Showing love to God and to his people. 1 John, beg your pardon. I want you to realize, everyone here, that every believer, every single believer, is meant to be a God lover. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the Bible says, here in that, let's go back to the scripture I quoted before this one, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. One of the ways that you know that somebody loves God is that the person loves people. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Anybody, male or female, that does not show love to others does not know God. Somebody will say, how do I know if somebody knows God? Find out if they love people. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Go on. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I love this scripture so much. The book of 1 John particularly is talking about love. Loving God, loving people, and all that. So you can go home and study better. One of the major things that will help us as a Christian is to exhibit love. Love to God first and love to our beloved neighbors. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of man what God has in store for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. You can't imagine what God will do for a person that loves him. Men that are here, you know what you do for your wives. You know how hard you work before you make money and you give it to her because you love her. Women that are here, you know how hard it is sometimes after work, yet you still cook for your husband, you still care for your family because you love them. The Bible says love is as strong as death. When you love somebody, it's like, I know death is like, it's like the ultimate we can think of. Because after death, that's all. He said, love is as strong as death. Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 6, the latter part of it. Love is as strong as death. So God is saying here, if you want to be a Christian, be a loving Christian. Love people. Love neighbors. Love church members. Love them. Love other churches. On our altar here, we are not allowed to speak evil of any congregation. We might not agree with you, but we will not speak against you. We will not come and call names and say, this is so church. Most people that do things in the wrong way, they do it because they lack understanding. They lack understanding. It's understanding that makes you outstanding. When you lack understanding, you can't be outstanding. So we must show love. Learn to demonstrate love to God, to your spouse, to your family, colleagues, neighbors, and everybody around you. And this will bring about a vibrant Christian life. Nobody rejects love. No matter who you are, once you are loved by a person, you naturally want to love the person in return. No matter who you are, even if your heart is as hard as stone, if the love keeps flowing, somehow, love always conquers. Love always conquers. But when there is small hatred here and there, and small things that are not love related here and there, then the love begins to dwindle. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. Unbelievers do not have Bibles. We are the Bibles they are reading. They don't have Bible. If an unbeliever sees you slapping your wife, he has already read the Bible that day. If this is how Christians are doing, then I don't think it's good to be a Christian. Bishop Oyedepo said one time, he used to live in a place when he was young. The husband and wife were always fighting. And he said, if this is how marriage is, I don't think it's, let me just be doing my work as a child of God. Until he found the keys to marriage, to peaceful marriage. And he said, when they were doing marriage counseling, the counselor said, you see, it is not possible for two people to be in a home and not fight. It's not possible for two people to be together and not fight. He now asked the man, he said, sir, it is possible. The man said, it's not possible. It's not possible. He said, sir, you are here, I'm here. How come we are not fighting? How come you are not beating me and I'm not beating you? He said, it's not mandatory that if you are a husband and a wife that you must fight. It's not mandatory. It's not compulsory. If the wisdom of God is there, may the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So love is vital for a believer that will be vibrant. Love is vibrant. If you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 1, explains to us what love is and tells us in verse 13 particularly that love is the greatest virtue you can have. Now there abided faith, hope, and love, which is also called charity. But the greatest of them all, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. But the greatest of them all is charity, which is also called love. So the greatest virtue you can have is to be a loving person. That's the greatest, but not that you have certificate to. Not that you are handsome or you are beautiful. The greatest thing they can say about you is that you are a loving man or you are a loving woman. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Let me just take one more keys that will lead to our Christian transformation. And that is a life of sacrifice. A life of sacrifice. John chapter 12 verse 24. John chapter 12 verse 24. Say, very verily I say unto you. John chapter 12 verse 24. Very verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Sacrifice is vital for Christianity. If you are a Christian and I ask you, what have you sacrificed for Christianity? And you say there's nothing, I'm not sure that you're a vibrant Christian. There must be something you must have sacrificed if you want to be a true Christian. Maybe you like to wear tight clothes that will show all your shape, but you have to sacrifice it because you want to be a good Christian. Maybe you are the kind of person you like palm wine, or you like a little bit of just a little of alcohol in your drink. In whatever you are drinking, you just mix it. Or our parents in those days, they mix Coke and small stout. They mix it, just Coke and small stout. Your Christianity must pay, it must cost you something. It must cost you something. That's why the Bible was saying that if your eye is what will cause you to sin, say remove it. That's what the Bible was talking about. That you can't be a Christian and your Christianity will not cost you something. It will cost you some films which you must not watch again. Hello? Hello? I know I'm not preaching a message of God release you money, God release you children, God release you, but this is vital for your Christian growth also. On Sunday, I'll do a lot of that. And on Saturday morning during the breakthrough encounter, we'll be seeing a lot of that. But right now, we are here at the feet of Jesus to learn what will make us to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. So, your growth is what we are talking about tonight. And tonight, I see everyone here growing in Jesus' name. I see everyone here growing in Jesus' name. I see everyone here growing in Jesus' name. So be ready to sacrifice. You will sacrifice time that you had before to do a lot of other things. Now you don't have the time again. You are in church often. You are in church often. You had so much time to waste before. Now you don't have any. Almost every single day now, I have a problem with time. Because the time is just moving. Time is just moving. I can't just imagine it. That I'll just, time has gone. Time does not wait. You must be ready to sacrifice if you want to be a believer. You will sacrifice some friends. You have to delete some numbers from your phone. You have to sacrifice more time for the Bible. You have to sacrifice more time to pray. And of course, you have to sacrifice. If you're a member of this church, you have to sacrifice to fast often. We just finished the fast today now. By the grace of God, by next week Wednesday, we fast again. In fact, for many people who are pastors and all, fasting starts before that Wednesday. You must be ready to sacrifice. If you are not ready to sacrifice, you can't get the crown. If a believer is not ready to sacrifice, he will never be crowned. Never be crowned. And tonight, I want you to search your heart. What are the sacrifices I need to make? Maybe a reduction in television watching. Maybe a reduction in browsing. Maybe you browse before. In a day, you browse 4 hours. You now reduce it to 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 10 minutes. There must be a price for every rise. Nobody rises without paying the price. My prayer is that for everyone here today, the grace to be able to pay that price, receive it in the name of Jesus. The grace never to fall off on the track of this race, receive that grace in Jesus' name. You will never tell the story of when you used to be a vibrant Christian. Did I hear somebody say amen? You will never tell the story that I used to be a Christian. I used to be vibrant. No. And if you have been telling that story before, you have to change that story to a new story now. That yes, I'm getting better. Your spiritual life will catch new fire. I say your spiritual life will catch new fire. Your spiritual life will catch new fire. Your spiritual life will experience new vibrancy. You'll be able to spend more time in the place of prayer. You'll be able to spend more time in the place of Bible study. You'll be able to spend more time in personal vigils. You'll be able to spend more time to go out on personal evangelism. Somebody say a big amen. Let your amen run like thunder. Every believer that pays the price is always crowned. My prayer is that at the end of life, when God will see you and when he will see me, may he say to you and say to me, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. That will be our testimony in the name of Jesus. We will not be rejected vessels. We will not be rejected vessels. We will not be rejected vessels. I will encourage you to go through these teachings. Since we started on Monday, we had 2 sessions on Monday, we had 2 sessions yesterday, and then we are here again tonight. Go through all these teachings and bring out action points on what you need to do. May you not just be a hearer alone. May you be a doer. Action points means you will have a jotter where you say, I haven't heard this. This is what I must do. I cut down on this. I cut down on this. I step up this. Because it will help my life. And then we'll be hearing your testimony. I say we'll be hearing your testimony. I say we'll be hearing your testimony. So shall it be. Well, the time is up. And I believe somebody's blessed. If you are that person, come on, say a big amen. Amen. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. Somebody say a louder, louder, louder amen. Amen. Rise up on your feet and give him praise. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Thank him. Give him all the glory. Give him all the honor. Give him all the majesty. Father, we thank you. Father, we appreciate your love, your support towards us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are worthy. You are mighty. You are excellent. You are dependable. You are reliable. Father, we worship you. Father, we bless you. Father, we exalt you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can we lift up our hands to him and just thank him for the word he has sent to us? Let's thank him. Let's give him praise. Oh, Lua. Ela tomi juwawa.
Shabbata. Oh, Eila Tomu. Arimichi. Arabata. Eila Tomu.
Worship. Just before we go into prayer, just worship him for a minute. And if you can pray in the Holy Ghost, just pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Legada jagredeja. Engrada katabara katash. Rokoto bagadadadadaja. Elepetiza kakota baradela. Indrodo jagredeja. Elabagadodo jagadadadodosa. Rokoto bakatagadagadabadabododasia gadabadaj. Rakataza gradeja. Rokoto bogodo begadoja. Rengadondrodododosa. Ingradoske rebregedeja. Reketa kata bagada badadasha, legrada dadeja, rokoto bagada nanozo grodododeja, ilada zagra kakata yasha, lebradesh garanda rakekoto grada gadoska, jina na negradoja gra kakata za, ropokoto bagadaza.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You will say, Father, empower me to walk in the fear of God. Place your fear in my heart. Place your fear on my life. Help me to fear you, O God. Lift your voice and pray. Pray, 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 pray. Help me to fear you. 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 Give me the grace to fear you. Empower me to fear you. Place your fear in my heart. Place your fear in my heart. Place your fear in my spirit. Place your fear in my heart. Place your fear in my spirit. Place your fear in my heart. Help me to fear you. Help me to walk in your fear. Help me to walk in your fear. Let your fear be paramount in my heart. Let your fear be obvious in my heart. Pray for the baptism of the Spirit of the fear of God. Father, let there be a baptism of the Spirit of the fear of God in my heart. Touch my spirit. Touch my soul. Let my heart fear you. Let my spirit fear you. Empower me to walk in your fear everywhere I go. Let the fear of God be my trademark. Let the fear of God be my trademark. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. You will say, oh Lord, I receive power to walk in discipline. Father, empower me for a disciplined life, a disciplined lifestyle. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. I can't hear your voices. Please lift up your voices so that I can hear you. And I pray that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. This is exactly what we need. If you are disciplined, many of the things that are happening will not happen to us. Discipline is vital for a believer. And no indisciplined believer has a future. You will say, Father, baptize me with the spirit and the grace for discipline. Lift your voice and pray. Pray, everyone. Help us. Let the spirit of discipline, disciplined life, disciplined words, disciplined conduct. Pray, 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 pray. Father, impart me with the spirit of discipline. And grace me with the spirit of discipline. Let that spirit of discipline rest in my heart, in my life. Help me to walk in discipline every day. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say, Father, empower me for continuous involvement in kingdom stewardship. Empower me, Lord. Lift your voice and pray. Empower me for continuous involvement in kingdom stewardship. Give me the grace. Continuous involvement. Continuous involvement. Continuous involvement. I must not retire now. I must not be tired now. It's too early for me to retire. It's too early for me to be tired. Let me be a vessel that is usable for your kingdom. I must not be an abandoned vessel. I must not be an abandoned vessel. I must not be an abandoned vessel. Use me again and again and again and again and again. If there's anybody you are going to use, let it be me. If there's anybody you are going to bless in service, let it be me. Give me the grace for physical stewardship, spiritual stewardship, evangelism stewardship, financial stewardship. Help me, Lord. Re-energize me for persistence in stewardship. Re-energize me. Remove distractions from me. Don't let the pursuit of the world take away my crown. Don't let the pleasures of this life take away my pursuit of your kingdom. What shall it profit a man? He gains the whole world and loses his own soul. I don't want to miss out. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say, Father, give me power to walk in love. Loving God and loving people. Lift your voice and pray. Power to love God. Power to love people. Power to love God. Power to love God. Power to love people everywhere I go. Let me walk in love. Equip me, Lord, to walk in love. Help me to walk in love. Always. Everywhere. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say, today, I receive power for daily sacrifice, for sacrificial living. Father, help me, Lord. Empower me for sacrificial living. Lift your voice and pray. Empower me to live a life of sacrifice. There is a price for every rise. It's called sacrifice. There is a scar for every star. It's called sacrifice. Give me the grace for sacrifice. Daily sacrifice, In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say, Father, in the name of Jesus, every organ in my body that is not functioning well, receive strength tonight. Lift your voice and pray. Every organ in my body that is not functioning perfectly, Father, release strength into them. Release strength into them. Release strength into every organ in my body. Strength to my eyes, strength to my ears, strength to my spinal cord, strength to my legs, strength to my chest, strength to every organ in my body. Strength, 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 divine strength. Every organ that is weak, tired, receive strength tonight. Receive deliverance tonight. Receive victory tonight. Let every organ in my body catch new strength. Enough of spending my money on drugs. I receive strength tonight, now, and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.